can't just kill our brother-in-law. Bibi, do I wish he was dead? Yeah, he is a piece of shit. But that is not how, you know, that's not how life, society works. Okay, you can't just explode a man. It's barbaric, is what it is. And you and me, we're not...
barbarians?
Murderers. We're not murderers.
I don't know if Rachel got the full experience of this show.
I think it's something to watch with people and enjoy in large groups, preferably with your sisters.
Oh, wow. Yeah, or friends, I think.
That's true.
Especially your girlfriend, a group of gaggle of girls. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I hope she's okay. I don't know what she went. Brandon, you did a great job picking the show, and then we never saw you again.
Wouldn't it be funny if you dialed in right now?
Yeah.
Hi, sorry. My mom at 12:20 said, can you talk? I said, I can talk until 12:30. Then I have to do something. What happened? I'm like, she's going. I'm like, mom, I have to go. Because then she just started going off on a tangent about how people drive in the Bronx. And I was like, this is too much. I got to go. This is irrelevant to my life.
Tell me about it, right, Corey?
The Bronx. My brother just moved to the Bronx. So she went to visit him. And she's like, oh my God, it's crazy.
What part of the Bronx are you living?
I'm not entirely sure. She said that there's a lot of brownstones made of brick in the neighborhood. So I don't know what that means.
He's Corey's neighbor. Welcome, TV viewers. I'm Jackie Andy. This is You Don't Know Jackie View. I'm joined with Jackie, Rachel, and Corey. We're basically a TV recap podcast. We've done a lot of recaps of other shows. We had a Squid Game podcast, Yellow Jackets podcast, started our You Don't Know Jackie View feed, and tons of shows, Single Drunk Female, After Party, Severance, just it goes on and on. We just finished off Loot, which was another Apple TV show, and we started Bad Sisters. So we watched the first two episodes, episode one, The Prick, episode two, Explode a Man, and yeah, we're just gonna talk about it, share our thoughts. Maybe, you know, see if anyone wants to discuss even with us, interact, anything like that. Yeah, so to start off, I think it took me a second. I was like, okay, I'm starting it. I'm like, all right, am I going to like this? Oh, it's going to be a lot to take in. But I did definitely get into the story, got into the characters. I definitely team Bad Sisters.
Yeah, all the way.
Let's go. I saw Corey thinks it's very funny. I think we were trying to see on a sliding scale, because our first reactions, Rachel, just after starting it a little bit, her reaction was, well, I like it's in Ireland, so we didn't know what to take from that. Do you have more of a formulated opinion after watching the first full two episodes?
Yes. I like the show. I think it's well done. I love the relationships between the sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I friggin' hate John Paul.
Oh yeah.
And I'm excited to see where it goes. I want to see less of him being a douche, and more of them bringing him down.
I guess, though, you need to see him as this bad guy for us to get on board with the death of somebody. Say that this Bad Sister show was based on a show from Belgium named Clan, or The Outlaws, I guess, which translated, which we haven't watched. I told Corey, don't go and read episode descriptions or anything. He's very tempted, but he doesn't want anything to be spoiled. But it seems very similar, even like a basic trailer or some images, and just, yeah, basically five sisters. The guy's name is Jean-Claude. There's two insurance salesmen. So it seems very similar, but I know obviously it was brought and
adapted or whatever.
Exactly. I would say the lead, the sister Eva, who's played by Sharon Horgan, is behind like a producer, you know, I guess considered behind this show.
Who's done also a Catastrophe and a lot of people like, which unfortunately I haven't seen it to this point, but if it's anything like this show, I'm going to definitely give it a chance, you know, in the in the upcoming weeks or months. But
also I divorce. And also producer on that I was showing This Way Up. I recommend that show. It's on Hulu. I do like that. If you like the sister dynamic, it's two sisters. There's two seasons out. So.
Oh, very nice. But I guess just quick thoughts. I think it's extremely funny. I was surprised how much I laughed from the very beginning. I actually watched, I don't usually do this, I actually watched both episodes twice to see if there's anything I missed. And there's all things I'm sure we might get into that.
I think there was a lot of really little smart things, I have to say. You kind of, like in a close watch, I feel like you pick up a lot of things that maybe, you know, we tease Corey that he says a lot of the things are obvious that happens. Like he can predict twists and everything. But there are certain things that when you rewatch, like, especially if I'm taking notes and I don't like, you know, sometimes you don't get as close to watch. I go back and close watch it. I'm noticing like Ursula in the first episode, clearly like on the phone, like clearly having an affair. Like it's almost in retroactively 2020, it's sort of obvious.
And something I brought up to you, Jackie, was that in this, and we'll get to it, but in the scene where they actually are in the church, Ben, who's the love in her, who she's having an affair with, is actually in the back row. So I know it's happening in the future, and we find out about him in episode two. But I thought that was a beautiful little detail that if you're not watching super close the first time, you don't catch that. Yeah.
I'm just interested, was he was just like, he's just like harassing her? Are we going to see him just following her, or was it just like a goof?
That'll be interesting, but I do really think it's funny. I thought even from the first moments with the erection thing, I thought was very, very funny. I mean, that's my type of humor, though. So, I mean, I like the dark comedies.
And, you love that. You love erections.
Oh, yeah. As often as possible. But the one thing that was brought up right from the start, the gentleman playing J.P. Williams, I think Klaus Bang, he might be, you know, when you watch this for the first time, you're just like, he's so hateable and everything. But you realize how good of a job he is doing in this character, where it would be very easy for this guy just to be so over the top and unlikable. But there is a charm to how evil he is. And I think, you know, watching like the first time, you would say, you know, like Sharon Horgan or one of the other sisters might be the standout performance. But the more you watch, you realize how hard a performance this JP character is, being that balance of evil and just
good. Of course, Corey would go for the male performance.
I think all the performances are very good. I mean, I was just, you know, just trying to say, I think, you know, the person who
shouldn't even be five BB, sisters, it should phenomenal. Be five brothers, right?
Wow. I believe we already had a movie called Four Brothers, so I guess that idea was already taken.
Well, yeah, I mean, also to get, you know, obviously, hopefully people have watched the show before listening to this with all the sisters. One thing could be confusing, like we said, there's Eva's a character, and they have two of the actresses that play the sisters. One's Eve and one's Eva. It's very, like, must have been very confusing. I will say, because after I was looking, we have Grace is the sister that's married to John Paul or JP, whatever you want to call him, and is, I mean, in an abusive relationship, right? That's it. And the other sisters know it. They introduce us to Eva, to BB, who's missing an eye. BB also seems to be like the coldest of the sisters, the one that's like, I'm over this. Ursula, who, you know, we said she also has a family, was having an affair. And then Becca seems to be the youngest. And, you know, we learn these things like she has a reputation around town. She definitely seems a little flirty, all these things. I didn't realize that I knew her, that she was in this show. Jackie Rachel, did you watch this Behind Her Eyes show? Do you know the show? I don't recommend it. Don't watch it.
Okay.
She's fine. No, it was good. It got me intrigued, and then I just really disliked the ending. I think it went too far. Too far. You look it up. It's about a woman who befriends another woman that was like having an affair with her husband. Like, I don't
know. Oh, boy. Very complicated.
Yeah, well, gets a lot more complicated. Then it becomes, don't even get me started about that show. So,
so The Prick, episode one.
Right. I mean, another, I would say, big character, Grace and John Paul's daughter, Blanard, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think she's pretty central into, yeah, like why they do and don't, like just to the relationship. And I'm always curious why I try to watch her to see what she thinks of her father, right?
I was doing that as well. I'm like so surprised that she, at least in the beginning, seems like, oh, she just wants to do what appeases him, kind of.
The daughter or the Grace?
Oh, I'm talking about the daughter.
Oh, yeah. I get the erect penis played for a laugh. I just think that out of all of us, I feel like Corey probably laughed out loud more than any of us watching. I do feel like it picks up and I get more interested, and some of the things definitely are funny, but yeah, Corey was really liking any little tiny thing of funniness.
I'm just a big fan of female writers. What can I say?
That, right. Very true. I'm wondering now, they go, I mean, you can see they don't like him. Oh, he's in his pajamas, like, you know, make eternal damnation more comfy for him. When Ursula talks about the, like, sometimes the erection of the penis would happen, Bebe says, okay, thanks, nurse. Do you think she's a nurse? Or do you think?
I think it was just
a little quip.
Just like, yeah. Oh, okay, you knew, you would know. Like, you know, sure.
I think you're just being a smartest.
Okay.
Yeah. So just going back and forth as sisters do.
Another big part is we see Becca trying to get to this funeral. She runs in to one of what we now learn is the insurance brothers.
Mm-hmm. Matt.
Right. And, you know, kind of causes him to skid off his motorcycle. They have this interaction. It was a meet cute, right?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, gravel in a sandwich. It's just a great story to tell your grandchildren. But also now, this is a big thing that he, you know, they like each other and they don't realize yet in the first two episodes that he's investigating her family.
I think that's really smart. And you would think as this goes along, there's going to have to be a decision made by one of them to, you know, either turn on their, you know, with Becca to turn on her sisters for, you know, for Matt, or for Matt to overlook something. At some point, you got to think that something's going to slip one way or another, and Matt is going to figure this out and have the conflict of, you know, does he go for love or does he go for his, you know, his brother who's going to lose, you know, basically lose his business.
Something I noticed then, she gets to the church and they're all sitting at the church, obviously they're like talking about, you know, oh yeah, John Paul, he's the joy he spread, and BB kind of laughs. So you're like, yeah, she does not care. She's like holding it together the least. Like even when at the house, when Tom says something like, oh yeah, like she just
a prick.
Yeah, that Eva has to basically stop her. But Becca sitting next to her actually looks upset. Like she's crying at the church service. So I'm wondering, I don't know, she seems the most affected by it. Or maybe regretful if they had anything to do with the murder, you know?
I think that's just also playing into the idea of what we just said, you know, of she's going to be the weak link, you know, she could be the easiest one to manipulate by the brothers to go and find out the truth.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You already then see that little thing that, okay, she is more emotional about it maybe than the others.
Well, I was thinking that, because we find out their parents died young, that it could be bringing back, you know, like the last time she was at a funeral could have been like when she was young and her parents both died. And that this is like bringing back those memories for her. Because it's almost, I don't know if like naivete is the right word, but it's, you know, she's young or the youngest, and it could represent something different to her. She might not have had all of the personal experiences with John Paul
it could be representing something different, but she's also more emotional or not able to, you know, maybe that means she would be more like spill something potentially or not. I don't know as of now, once we watch the first two episodes. I mean, they obviously all talk about it kind of jokingly, but right now there's only two people that know there's like a real plan to do it, right? And it's not Becca, it's Eva and Bebe. So
is Bebe short for something?
Some people just have they just make their nicknames like names, you know, not everyone. I don't know. It's also with eyes, B-I-B-I. I usually say it with E's. Are you looking it up if it's short for what typically it's short for? Beatrice sometimes, you know, maybe.
Short variant of Birgit, B-I-R-G-I-T, Bianca and Bridget.
I'm guessing it's either Bianca or Bridget, I would think. But I mean.
Oh, I'm thinking it's Birgit.
Oh, okay.
With a name like Ursula and what's the daughter's name again?
Becca, which Rebecca, is that?
No, I thought it's
Blannard.
Blannard. Blannard. Anyway, I also am wondering what BB, because isn't there BB Rexa? Is that spelled differently? BB. Oh yeah, it's spelled differently. I'm gonna look up what her full name is. Maybe it would give us some insight.
Oh, there's a lot of BB Newer.
Bletta. Her name is Bletta.
Bletta.
Bletta Rexa.
Oh yeah. Obviously, sometimes there's even nicknames you can't even make sense of. This is, you know, but.
This is the nickname podcast.
Yeah.
Brought to you by.
Well, like, what is it? It's Margaret.
Peg.
Peg. Very weird.
Mm-hmm. But then sometimes people might just decide, guess what? I'm just naming my kid Peg and they're not Margaret. We were actually just talking about this yesterday.
Yeah, no, I know.
Or you would have, yeah. So. Yeah, it was, anyway, yeah, the Coughlin and Sons is the insurance, and we see Tom has his pregnant wife, Teresa. He's going to be investigating the claim into, you know, John Paul. Like, I mean, obviously, he's, you know, young-ish, right? He hasn't, if he was paying into this life insurance policy, and now you have to pay it out, it's a big policy. His father, that, you know, I guess has passed, was made a mess of the accounting, and they're going to lose the business, basically. It'll kill them to pay out this claim.
Oh, that sucks for you.
Not a good reason to accuse people of murder, but, you know, to just on the basis of, like, somebody died. Let me go, like, think they're doing something off. Which Matt has the idea of saying, well, you kind of on the side of, what do you mean? Why are we bothering them and all this? Then I like when we get a lot of flashbacks. It goes 6 months earlier. We see them like Christmas Eve dinner kind of. And yeah, we learn John Paul, we hate him. Like he's just complaining about everything. He calls Eva a spinster. And
he makes that very inappropriate joke about her not being able to have a kid. I mean,
oh my God.
Being racist,
I was going to throw my phone out the window.
And then, you know, making the racist or ethnically inappropriate
about
joke
Frank,
about Frank
that got cut off. They all know,
It's a weird name for a millennial.
Telling his daughter that, oh, don't have that. You'll end up like your cousin. Can't eat too much of that. And then even when the nephew goes and like goes on his shoulders, like control your kid, like just like everything. And he's also like so sleazy the way he gives her the present, God. The necklace, like here, like in front of everyone. Look at this necklace, this and that.
I mean, he's a selfie. I mean,
he doesn't flush the toilet, right? Like, doesn't he tell Ursula to flush for me? I mean, he hates the idea of Becca opening a massage studio. Like it's going to fail or whatever. We learn Eva and JP have the same boss, which now this was something we definitely thought was obvious that this Eva going up and saying, oh, I'm going to go for this financial director position. I'm like, John Paul's going to mess this up some way, somehow. Of course, then we see in the second episode, he's going up for the position. And I don't know what all happened with the dynamic there at the funeral. We could see Eva and the boss's dynamic there, obviously. You know, there's obviously something, you know, more, I think, goes down.
Right. One thing I just wanted to say quickly was I thought it was a really nice touch on how they're showing going back to the past and the future with basically the idea of like a camera, like a roll of film where they're going from like each slide. I think that's a nice
film?
Little device.
What's that? No.
I did think that was a nice little way to go and show that we're going from the past and the future. I thought that was a nice device to use.
I agree. What does anyone think about how he calls Grace Mammy all the time?
It's weird. Like, what is that? To, like, degrade her a little? Like, I don't, Is she just like an old Mammy?
These are all just manipulative attacks to go and destroy her confidence and make her subservient to him and, you know, basically sooner or later no longer try to fight back. Like the sisters see that, you know, she's slowly turning to some, you know, a different person, being, you know, more silent and shy and everything, which we learn a little bit, you know, later. But these are all ideas of how a man, you know, slowly, without maybe someone realizing, slowly controls his actual, you know, his victim.
Yeah. Which, you know, and makes like, oh, but he's so nice to me. Look, he got the thing. He calls me this sweet name or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, that's not a sweet name.
Through the whole dinner, we learned that every year, since with the, even they did since they were little, they do this 40-foot jump and they swim on Christmas morning, whatever. They're all like, oh, well, okay, so Blanard, you can come for the first time. It's going to be great. But Christmas morning comes and he gets the idea that, oh, wait, she's changing for the swim. Hmm. He comes up with this sly way to go, oh, let me give her these oysters. And then what gets in the way? We just talked about it on Loot Champers. So... AKA
darn champers.
Yeah. Corey's just learned about yep. champers.
Now, the first time I watched it, I didn't realize that that was his idea initially, with the idea of making her, no, oh, making her drink.
No.
So obvious. I didn't catch that. So obvious. I'm just kidding.
Of course.
No, I guess the drinking part, I was like, he's obviously doing this so she can't go. He's doing something so she can't go. I didn't know it was this stupid, oh, you had champagne. What are you kidding? I can't drive. I'm very confused because he did have some, and they said, obviously, these things we learned, he had, you know, alcohol in his system when he died, and I think they say he's a teetotaler, which is like more like a sober person, basically, mm-hmm. but he did have the champagne, so, but then maybe it would be, oh, I had the champagne, are you kidding me? That's all, I definitely can't drive.
Which I think
also,
that-
what's up with the boat? Why does the neighbor keep asking about the boat?
He's so mean to his neighbor. He obviously is lonely and like just wants to be included.
Well, Corey
is he lonely?
Corey thinks. Go ahead.
I think the neighbor is smitten with Grace. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, he'd probably treat her better than JP.
Absolutely. He already does.
The thing with John Paul taking the money and the card. Like, what is that about?
I think that's most
so that his daughter can't have like a little bit of like autonomy or something, can't like buy something for herself. Is
I think
that what
it's
it is?
I think it's that, and also he most likely thinks it's inappropriate for an older man to go and give money to a young girl or something. I mean, even with that stuff with episode 2, which you find out, you know, the pin and everything, he's very conservative when it comes to his family, even though he is a scumbag and, you know, masturbating and everything else and doing everything. Which is, you know,
oh, people that are conservative can't masturbate. What do you say?
No, that's not what I meant. No, we'll move on. I'm just saying he's not a good dude.
Yeah. So I mean, obviously she could have walked out. He really like held the door. You could see. I mean, you know, Grace was just really devastated. That's a huge thing to now miss this. I haven't missed it since I was a child. And I don't know. It's just, this is the thing. You don't know how people just put up with this stuff. After.
Well, in the moment, it's like, okay, is she going to run out and like leave her daughter there? You know, if like she had like a small window of opportunity to get out so that it didn't escalate, then, you know, are you going to want to leave your daughter with this man who just like hurt your hand?
It's not easy for anyone. Like, I mean, you see it all the time. It's not easy for people to leave abusive relationships at all, or even, you know, any relationship sometimes. I guess it's kind of like Stockholm syndrome or whatever she's experiencing. I don't know how, you know, you would think like the sisters are trying to tell her when she's cleaning the dishes and she's like, no, you don't see it, blah, blah, blah. Even think there's a point where, you know, they're all saying it to her. Even Eva comes over in like the second episode and it's like he was like, oh, absolutely not, the Lizzo concert, blah, 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 blah. And like even the dancing, you can't dance in front of the him or whatever for the daughter stopping. And I think Grace said something like, well, I haven't had to like take out the bin in 10 years, not once or something. And I'm like, what? You're trying to say he can do all this bad stuff because he takes out the garbage? Yeah, like it doesn't. It's just like she's just like feeding herself these. Well, he's so nice. Or look at the necklace he got me. And look at, you know, it's like I don't. Meanwhile, he's just like, here's my hiking boots. Well, you know, you gotta wear them around the house for me, break them in, do all this stuff. It's just like so one-sided.
Well, she's been trained to fear him and trained to basically from all this abuse to just think it's the new normal, which is even more scary part of all of this.
No, you're right. And another thing, at the funeral, when we see, okay, so Becca comes, she sees there's no drinks there. And it was like, oh, in honor of his sobriety. So he really is, you know, doesn't drink, I guess. So it is interesting that when he's dead, he has alcohol in his system.
I think that's going to come back to, and this is just a wild rumor, but or theory. I don't know if it's at the very beginning or in the middle of the episode where he's using the nose spray. I think they're going to most likely spike that with alcohol or some sort of alcohol substance.
I think something's going on with that, like Flonase or whatever the heck it is. I was like, yeah, that's interesting. Why are they showing us this? I do agree, but Becca leaves to go to like the pub. When Matt and Tom go to the funeral, you know, it arranges that they don't see her, but they're there. Tom makes a comment about how would you know about what Dad wanted? Obviously, that Matt maybe wasn't around, maybe at the end of the dad's life or whatever the case is that he took off. He was in London, like we learned, he had a band and all, you know, all this other stuff. But he goes to the pub, Becca. Okay, they have another nice interaction. She puts her number in his phone as Sandwich Girl. You know, we're off to the races on that relationship. Now, another issue that's going to pop up is Tom doing his investigation, just trying to get if there's any little bits and pieces, ask Grace where she was the night that John Paul died. And she said she was with her sisters. And then we find out that that was a lie. Even though Eva's like, oh, it's no problem. They're like, yeah, we were going to hang out anyway. It's almost the truth. So, yeah, now we have, you know, this problem here will come out around that they weren't together. I'm like, make sure you tell the other sisters. Also, we have to see if they're having these attempts to kill him, a time when he seems drunk or like, yeah, got some kind of alcohol and Grace is just home alone or, you know, whatever. I wonder what the alibi the other sisters have is.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I mean, one thing before I forget, I was just wondering, because we all know JP is an ass and we don't like him. And we like Matt because he's the idea of possibly in this relationship. What are our thoughts on Tom? I mean, he's got a wife and we understand why he's trying to go and save his company. But do you think Tom is likable or is Tom a bad guy? I mean, I'm not sure. Like his character kind of is, I know the male character, so I'm supposed to be like all happy about that there's men in the show. But I think his character is actually really interesting on where he falls, where, yeah, he's gone a little bit too far trying to save his company, but he doesn't seem like a bad guy. What do you think of him as a character?
He's a kook. And he like, talk about trying to find some wrongdoing. He does something super illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you knew that he was gonna do.
Right. I mean, he also is just kind of driven by the stress of about to have a kid and losing his company. So I mean, I don't feel like he's always a bad guy.
Like, this is the business you're in. Like, yeah, act accordingly. But, like he's taking it upon himself. Like he's a police officer.
Right.
No, because he's doing it for his family, for the business. Like he has a reason. Like the way we could see. Okay, we don't
why
like
the sisters
that
he's recovery. Yeah.
Why the sisters are what?
I mean, same idea. I mean, what the sisters are doing is illegal and they're breaking the law, but because we like them and we understand why they're doing it.
And because we don't like John Paul. Like, right. John Paul is completely evil. Tom, yeah, you want him to lose, or, you know, you want the sisters to win, obviously. Right. But it's more layered, the Tom character. And you can see where he's coming from. But yeah, people bounce back. So declare bankruptcy.
No, I don't see where he's coming from.
No, there's nothing you would do. Like, so like you just like give up defeat. I mean, I understand like
defeat.
Yeah, there's a line. There's a line, obviously, that you're going to say, I'm not going to cross that because that's illegal. But when people are pushed back against the wall, they'll do anything like we see the sisters do. So you think the sisters should just kill him?
Yes. This is where I'd like to revisit the episode where you guys said, would you commit murder? And John Paul is making me want to go to
Welcome to the Dark
Side. Enslaver camp.
We were just talking about this. This is like the murder podcast. But No, but what I'm saying is, if we're looking at not as viewers that like the sisters and don't like John Paul, Tom is absolutely right, potentially, that, I mean, the sisters, at least, they made an attempt.
He's really reaching. But he's really reaching, like,
well, but the facts of the case are they actually took intent. There was actions. I'm not saying
there's nothing suspicious this far, though.
Well, we don't, but like I said, all we know, and like I said, I'm sorry that this has gone a little further than most likely we expected to do, but all we know is that he died gruesomely, mm-hmm. and we don't know how he died. Right. We haven't seen the picture that Matt saw.
We know that now.
Right.
Yeah, at least not this time. I think that's one of the things that this show most likely is going to kind of be about, where for the next basically 8 or 9 episodes, they're going to try to kill him, and every time they're going to fail until they actually do they
I'm wondering if they actually succeed or if they just somehow
I think he's gonna wind up dying by like some accident or natural causes that have nothing to do with the sisters.
I sort of agree
that would be interesting.
But they are like witness to it somehow, or they know like, well, now he died, but we were making all these plans, so we're gonna look suspicious also,
right?
Like, they obviously have something to hide. Even if it was just a matter of like, that's how he had alcohol, or like there was some minor contributing factor that if you didn't want someone dead, you would never say, oh, I contributed to their death. But the fact that you did want them dead, maybe it's like, maybe that wasn't the greatest. I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be.
It's not illegal to hate somebody with a fiery, burning passion.
Right. But it's.
I know. I work with a lot of people like that.
I mean, that's where you get the line. Even to think about killing someone is illegal, is it not? What intent? Then, if you actually have intent, if you're going and lighting candles and, the house, the cabin burned. Now we're at the end of the second episode, but basically, it was nice the end of the first episode that the sisters are all together, and basically, like, we have, you know.
We
have to always look out for each other. So that's, you know, obviously we're like, yeah, let's go. We're with it. We're sitting there.
So we were about to talk about episode 2, but what would you, like, compared to some of these other shows that we've gone over, do you think this is a super strong pilot? Do you think this is like middle of the pack? I mean, where would you, I thought this was a really good pilot. I mean, like, I didn't love.
Really packing like a lot in. Like, I feel like you could kind of make these like half the length. I guess maybe I'm getting too used to like the 20 minute Apple TV shows where Single Drunk Female was on. But I'm getting used to like these kind of like bursts of episodes where it's like it leaves you wanting more, but it tells a story within it. Like, mm-hmm. there's parts where I'm like, wait, we're still in the same episode. Like, I feel like, you know, we could do the first flashback in the second episode or something. So
I don't know, I mean,
a lot of information they're giving you.
They went to the flashback fairly early. I think that's when I really got into it.
But yeah, like, I like this pilot better than like I like the pilot for Squid Game, which I wound up really liking. I mean, I think I like Yellow Jackets most likely the best of all the shows that we've done, the pilot. But I thought this was really strong, and maybe more than others. I thought it was really funny. Yeah, it's definitely dark, and there's some sad stuff going on, and dealing with the idea of mental abuse and everything else. But I think the way they handled these things, I think was a really strong, and I was ready to watch the second episode the minute the first one ended, you know? So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think we're in for a really fun, you know, 9-week ride of talking about this show as we get ready to talk about episode 2 quickly.
Yeah. I mean, we've touched on a lot of the stuff, I guess, in episode 2, but just as when that starts, we see Eva like burn, it has a fire burning like a picture of John Paul. She sees Matt and Tom pulling up. They come to try to talk to her. Okay. She invites them in, which beforehand Tom was like, well, okay, if they don't want to talk to us, they don't have to, right? And then we'll just drop it and no problem. But if they invite us in, they have something to hide. I'm like, is that what that means, right? Like, I don't know, but okay, fine.
I think he was just mostly going with by the idea that, you know, I would say most people, when you an insurance or someone comes, they go and let you in because they think it's, you know, the right thing to do,
right?
And he's just trying to figure out a way to get his brother to get on board.
Maybe so. My favorite part was he's like, it says like something about, oh, sorry, my brother. Oh, that's your brother? I thought it was your son. I loved it. He's like, what? How did I'm 35. So she doesn't really give them much, as, you know, deflecting about like, oh, there was something weird. Like, we ordered Chinese, but then like Mexican food came. It was so strange.
Okay.
That
was I thought that was a nice joke too.
Yeah, Tom's moving ahead. Like, we got to exhume the body and prove this. Like, you know, we see. Yeah, and then so we spoke a little bit about this. I know Corey liked the part where it goes to the flashback where JP was like jerking off before work. Interesting. I mean, I don't know if you've ever with and because he was wearing a suit, so he put his tie up over the shoulder. It was a nice touch too. I don't know if that have you ever jerked off in a suit or in with a tie?
No. No, I don't believe I have, but if it does ever happen, I'll be sure to note it.
I'm wondering, is that like standard thing? Yeah. Just think, as a standard, people put it over the shoulder.
Getting down.
He also had taken his rings off.
I'm not going to say why. I think that was weird.
Why?
I thought the taking. I mean, I guess that's must be like a Roman, like a Catholic. You know, somebody's very. The church thing where they
but he took off two rings, not just the. I mean, I guess maybe the other had significance of what you're saying, like a religious significance. Because the wedding ring, right. Yeah, I get it. Like, oh, I can't do this if I'm married. This is single, JP. No. What were you going to say?
It
you're not going to say
you have a wedding band on your hand. I don't know.
Well, that's another Corey. Not married can't help us. I was hoping Jackie Brandon could have been on to answer that question for us.
I guess I would say, without being crude, I'm guessing
your wedding band is on your left hand, and typically, I mean, sometimes people do, you know, go goofy, but typically, right? I mean,
you're ambidextrous sometimes.
I don't know who, you know, if he's a lefty or a righty, I guess, but why were you going to say your reason of why you thought his tie was over?
Let's just say, without being too crude, if there was a mess and something shot up too high, it didn't affect it. It wouldn't go over the tie.
Yeah, but okay, it's not gonna get on your shirt or anywhere else. Like, I mean, I
guess
I know
you can change. I guess you
longer.
Can change your shirt. You mostly have more. Like,
you can't
white
change
shirts.
Your tie. You have way more ties than anything. Like,
I guess I don't know. I'm trying to make.
No,
you know,
I understand. I do understand why, obviously, but you know, it's people they do it when they eat too. Sometimes, you know,
it's something.
Obviously then we learned that John Paul did apply for the same job as Eva, a little friendly competition. He seems like rude to even this guy Gabriel that is working with them is like a new worker. It's like everyone picks up on the fact that he's a jerk. It's not like I'm like, does he have friends? Like even when he goes on the hike, they're all like, I don't think they like him.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting.
I mean, I guess we all know people like that, but you know. Second part of we touched on a little bit is this affair that Ursula's having. And I think that this will come up, I guess, later, add to maybe Ursula wanting to, kill JP. Like, I don't know if each time, because in this episode, obviously we see BB coming like, okay, yeah, like I'm serious. I wasn't like joking about it. Let's do it. Eva's no, deflecting. We'll get to then she changes her mind. But I think maybe Ursula will change her mind because JP's going to come out about this affair. Right. She's like, oh, that's it. Oh, wait, are you guys on the murder plot? I'll join it, you know? And, you know, she's the next one going to join.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that this was very sweet, but actually, no, I just thought it was a sweet little scene of someone, you know, having an affair.
Writing this pussy's mind on your abdomen?
Yes, I thought that was very funny. You didn't find that funny? You didn't like that scene?
No, I didn't.
Wait, which part did you find funny? When he did it or when she had to wash it off later?
Both.
You thought it was funny when he did that?
Yeah, because you're sitting there going, what is he doing? I mean, you would think the idea of what he's doing
down
there.
We need to talk.
I mean, you know, she's like, wait, you're writing on me. And then you find it. I thought it was, I think that, you know, he thought it was being flirtatious.
Yeah, it was very stupid. No, well, it was. Then she was like, why would you do that? Blah, blah. And he's like, you make me do stupid things. She's like, oh, come here, kiss you. I love you. Like, then she was into it.
But I know we're running short on time, but I just want to know why Rachel has it like pretty much all these, like, a lot of these parts that I.
Yeah, what was the funniest part? Has it happened yet?
I don't think so. When I was in the car, something made me laugh out loud. I honestly can't remember what it was.
I mean, I think when the cabin blew up, we were laughing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's, like I said, I think the comedy elements that could come across to some as not comedic have worked more for me. I don't know if it's why exactly, you know, some of it is or isn't working for other people, but this show, like I said, is really hitting on all cylinders for me.
Well, I do think this Jackie Rachel is very much like really dislikes John Paul and is not like, oh, that's funny that this happened. Like, she's probably like upset at like the things that happen. Like, we'll go forward and talk about even like what gets Eva on the page for murder.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, like, because she's the first, like, you know, well, whatever, you can't just explode a man, you want to do this whole gas leak thing, whatever, he's Blonner's father, we can't do this, blah blah blah. So you get the whatever communion confirmation day for her, right? Like some
stuff with the bra. I thought that was right.
That's what I'm talking about. That she's getting ready for that day. He sees the bra. Like, he was giving her a pro-life pin, and all of a sudden he sees the bra. He goes down. You're buying lingerie for her. What do you mean? He finds out Eva got it, and then after the church, when they're at their little luncheon or whatever, makes a whole scene about it. Like, oh my god, lingerie! You know, because they were like, well, 12 is a normal age. Yeah, if you're Molly and your tits are made of fat, like, oh, so rude.
So uncomfortable, but I thought, like I said, once again, I thought that was a funny joke. But you know, some may have not. But
yeah,
I know it's a theme.
Did you find it funny?
I know it's a form of body shaming, but I did think it was a well placed joke. I guess that's
It's a joke because of just how if someone said that in real life, you wouldn't laugh, would you?
I think you're most likely uncomfortably like
what?
I don't know. Maybe I'm.
Don't I also, give you know, people I listen laughs to, for comments about like that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm the same person who listened to for years Opie and Anthony, and when I was younger, a lot younger, Howard Stern. So we all go through phases where we find, you know, juvenile things funny.
Yeah, but I don't know. This is a grown adult about talking about a kid. Like, it's just, you know.
He's a sociopath, though.
It's the only way it's funny for in the show is just because, like, oh, he's really such an ass, you know,
yes.
And just says like, oh, you know, she doesn't even need a bra. It's like there's just two bloody moles there. Like, it's nothing. Grace even doubles down to Eva. Like, you took this moment away from me. Just on JP's side. Blonda gets so upset and walks away. JP's like, don't go after her. This is why she doesn't respect you, because you're weak. And he tells Eva, like, if you want to like sexualize a child, have one of your own. Oh wait, you can't. Your sister has a reputation around town. Now you want your niece to? Oh, frigid bitch. Like, and she steps to him. Oh, you're gonna hit me? That's what you're gonna do now? Because you know he'd be crying so much if she did anything to him. Oh. So that's her turning point moment. And I think JP getting those little things into Ursula, like, oh, those after hour classes are paying off. It's going to go further. And that's going to be Ursula's turning point of, remember when we were talking about that? And they're like, oh yeah, actually that's what happened to the cabin. We blew it up. We were trying to kill him. Wait, what?
Oh man, that's funny. Yeah.
They go to the cabin. They look, okay. So now Court, we were watching this. Eva gets there, she's looking at a photo, and I thought I was further away. I was like, who's in that photo? And you said, I think it's her and her sister. And it's
guy. The first time. Yeah, I didn't notice the first time because it was dark. I didn't realize it was
I thought it was a guy from far away, and then I was just like, oh, I'll just watch it myself. I don't know what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. But I was like, so it's her and a guy. And then she brings up Kieran. So I don't know if that's Kieran, maybe, because she says, oh, it was like 10 years. Remember when like I made this fire with Kieran or something or other. Mm-hmm. So right. Yeah, that's a whole, I mean, she might have had this whole dynamic. Maybe they were trying to have kids and they couldn't, you know. Yeah, I don't know the history, but just the fact that that's what JP seems to like harp on a lot, it must be a big issue for her. And she seems very motherly. Like, she seems to wanna, like, she's like the sponsor for Blonard, and you know, she's always, yeah, she took over that mother role when their parents passed away as well.
Right.
They say, okay, let's get him. He's going to be at this cabin for this hike or whatever. Make sure that Grace and Blonard aren't with him. So she gets them the Lizzo tickets. Oh, so fun. Corey, I know you're a big Lizzo fan.
I'm learning more and more of her songs every day, yes.
Well, I thought Grace was there. She's letting loose. Oh, letting loose, blame it on the goose. Oh,
very funny.
Jackie Rachel, where are you? Back? Are you here to back me up?
What about Lizzo? I'm, I don't really have an opinion on her.
No, I was singing. You could have given me like, wah, wah, wee. Or you could have done like, you know, a little. Anyway. Wow. No, but, you know, she was doing a little silly thing. It was kind of embarrassing, right? Walking in, Bonner's like, yeah, don't do that. But she's like, you know, it was nice, you know.
I'm just going back for one second. Do you think Grace actually went and tried to, you know, fix the hiking boots for JP, or was this just her way of like actually trying to show a little bit of backbone for once, or did she just get distracted and out of time? I mean,
yeah, I don't know that like something... okay, even if you break in the shoe, I mean, I don't know. I mean, how much could she break them in?
True. Oh no, I don't disagree, but it was just...
yeah. I don't know if that contributed to it or what. Maybe Eva bought another pair and put the unbroken ones in, like switched them off.
Funny.
Yeah, but I mean, we touched on the fact that Grace, you know, signed these the papers that you know, basically he tricked her into signing them and all that stuff. But
Matt just stood idly by. He's just as guilty in my book.
Oh, come on. He could That's have said nice. No, because he could stand idly by and not tell his brother, like, make it obvious to Grace his brother's doing that. But after the fact, he tried to take it. He could still be trying to, like, stop him from submitting the papers. I don't know. Yeah. He's torn. Now he's not a good guy. Now we have, okay, Corey is, like, all for the men. Jackie Rachel's all, no, nope, against all of them. What do you think about poor Donald, though, Ursula's husband?
I feel bad for him.
Okay.
All right. There's still hope. Just remember, though, this is nice guy Rachel. So she's got nothing to do with the F-boys.
Yeah, that's JP, you're right. Very true.
JP's definitely
Matt wasn't F-boy. Picking up Becca's calls. F-boy.
And if you want, you can check out on the feed old episodes of season 2 of F-Boy Island, which we went through. So just so people know what we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, so obviously JP, because he's like, I need band-aids, I have all these blisters, and goes to call Grace to complain as she's at the Lizzo concert. And it's like, you could see Blonder's like, I mean, what were they going to do? Not pick up? I guess what could happen? What could he do? He's all the way at the cabin, right?
Yeah, got no signal.
She's like, oh, hi, honey. Yeah, we did a crazy thing. Like, you knew he was going to be like, where are you? What's this noise? And just, I mean, hopefully I would be like, okay, sure. We'll talk about it later, but go to the concert. I mean, Blanner took off.
Yeah, she was not happy.
He goes up, goes to sleep. Eva and BB wait. They're like, oh, the lights went off like an hour ago. Okay, blah, blah. This is what I thought too, because I'm like, they said, oh, Eva got me these Lizzo tickets. I was like, oh, he's going to call her. Like, it's going to, like, we got cell. They shouldn't even have their cell phones on for coordinate, you know, to coordinate the coordinates. Okay. They shouldn't even bring their cell phones or got a burner phone. Burner. Hello. Do we know how to commit crimes here? I don't think so. But he actually tries to go to sleep for, I guess, a while sitting there. And then so happens when they go in, again, BB was all for it. Eva still delayed, stayed in the car, wasn't going to do it. Only came in after BB was in there for kind of a long time. JP wakes up. Eva then, though, finds the lighter. They're looking, right? And instead of letting, like, BB do it, I think it's very telling that she was like, no, give it to me. I have to finish it. She went, Yeah, it's still her being the protector, being like, if anything came down to it, to protect them, like, I did it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I do wonder, though. Mm-hmm. It feels like maybe not obvious because every time I say that it upsets people. But I think JP is the reason why BB has the eye patch, and I think that's the anger mm-hmm. that she has. Because like even earlier when they're first talking about killing him officially, Eva's like, "You can't, you know, you're doing this just for personal reasons." And I think it might have something to do with the eye patch, but that's just, you know, another wild theory.
Okay, well, it could have been accidental or whatever, but. But yeah, so they light the candle, they run out, but JP, because we already know from his call with Grace, didn't have any service in the cabin, he had to go outside, so he has to go outside to call Eva about the Lizzo tickets, so now he's outside, and he sees his whole cabin blow up. And then I thought
how many entrances are there to this cabin? I was like, wait, how did he
Well, the steps.
But only like 50
from, steps. No, there's... Well, I mean, any... A lot of cabins have like a front door, back door, whatever. I saw him. Yeah. I think there was a door upstairs. Like there's a loft area. Because when he went downstairs when he went to talk to Grace. So he didn't go downstairs to the main cabin where they were. He went out a door from the bedroom and went down the outside stairs.
Hmm. Okay. That makes sense.
Thank yeah. You. Yeah, I think they, then you hear that we've covered Severance and they had in one episode, the end, the I'll be seeing you in familiar places. You got that song again. I thought that was, I was like, oh, okay. I want to see what happens next. I want to see more. I just, you know, want to see their attempts. I want to see how bad he is. I know Jackie Ritchie said you want less of that, right?
Yeah.
And but no, I like it. Just gives me more. It's like more fuel for the fire. Just, you know, yeah, look at these guys. Gotta get stop them. We gotta stop them. I've been hearing really too many stories lately. I'm just done with it.
I really do like the cat and mouse aspect of this, of the insurance salesman and the sisters who's gonna trying to go catch each other. I do think that's very fun and entertaining element of this show where you don't like you're rooting for the sisters, but at the same time, you know, they are guilty. So you're trying to figure out how they
are they?
By the end of this, maybe they're not. You're right. That's very true.
Their first crime is being women, Jackie. Of course they're guilty.
Ouch.
You're right. Oh my goodness.
I was just born
course.
That
course. Well, if anyone would like to reach out to us, you can email us, youdontknowjackiepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on social media, youdontknowjackie, or Jackie Podcast on Twitter. You can look back, you search You Don't Know Jackie on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and you can see if there's any other shows that you want to hear us talk about, anything like that. We also have a Patreon if anyone would like to support us. That's patreon.com/youdontknowjackie, and just give a shout out to our patrons: James L, Ron J, John M, Cassie M, Rian, Anastasia M, Kelly O, Brenda G, Kate C, John J. Thank you. Big thank you. Thank you to our producer, Jackie Brandon. Also, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. And, you know, he's the one who chose this show, and hopefully we'll actually hear from him, his thoughts in the upcoming weeks, if he's available.
Yes. But also, if you are interested in their music, that's from James No Burden Musics, noburdenmusics.com or noburden.bandcamp.com. And yeah, thank you to Jackie, Rachel, and Corey for joining me.
Hope you enjoyed the epi.
Bye. You know,
so Jackie, Rachel.
Getting loose. Yes. Gotta
blame it on the goose. If anybody has suggestions on any actresses or female comedians that Corey might actually find talented or funny, you can email us.
Actually, a lot of female comedians.
He likes a lot. Yeah, he does.
I know.
But my big question: do you know who Columbo is?
No.
Rachel?
No. Yeah. No. I was thinking really hard, and I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they made okay. So, like, when Matt and Tom are in the car, you know, and Tom's sitting there, like, oh yeah, that you're gonna see because they, I think they did all this. I've seen this kind of thing before, and I think and Matt calls him like, you know, he says, oh yeah, what do you think, you're Columbo or something, basically like in reference to that.
Yes, yeah, so I pulled up the description. Columbo isn't a typical detective whodunit TV show. On most detective shows, viewers don't know who committed the crime until the detective pieces the clues together and figures it out. On this show, however, viewers see the crime unfold at the beginning of most episodes, including who the perpetrator is. The mystery and fun for viewers is trying to spot the clues that will lead Lieutenant Columbo to discover the culprit and watching the tricks he uses to get a confession.
Yeah, it was a big show. Very good. It was a big show from the early 70s to like the late early 2000s with Peter Falk. So it was a
interest.
Indeed.